Praise God. Okay. I'll take these off in a second. Let me get set up. All right. Last week, I started talking to you about what it's like to be in Christ. And like I said, it's, you know, it's a huge topic, and it would really take 6 months to cover it. But I'm going to cover a little bit more of it tonight and maybe one more time whenever I'm up here next month. But I just think it's important. It's something that we need to just get inside our system and our spirit and allow God to reveal himself into us in a big way. So before we read the scripture, tonight, Hannah, if you just put up the first slide. This is what we talked about last week, okay? So in Christ, this is from Ephesians chapter 1. This is what we are. I am blessed. Remember we said it means to be celebrated. God is celebrating you, and he's excited over you, and he's thanking you and loving on you. That's what all that means. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. And remember, that was a word that largess, which is an old word. It comes from the French language, which means bounty, gifts, lavishing, money, gifts, everything from God's economy. So he says, I'm blessed and celebrated with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I am chosen and holy without blame before him. Remember we said we're chosen in him. We're not chosen to be in him. In other words, he doesn't send some to heaven and some to hell. Once we come into him, we are holy and without blame before him in his face with love. And once we are in him, then we are adopted into sonship. And remember we said that's that status, that high status that is like in the Roman days when the father was the head of the household, and you achieved this status when you became the heir. And you didn't necessarily always become the heir of your own household. They could swap households. If someone needed an heir for their family, they could actually buy someone else's son. All right? And then they would attain everything that came in that family legacy or heritage. So that what it means. When we're adopted into sonship, we've gone from being a slave and we're to progress into this sonship. That's what we've been predestined to. Once we come into Jesus, we are predestined to sonship. We are predestined to everything that he has available for us. And we are accepted in the beloved. That means endued with favor, highly favored and endued with special honor. All right, so that's where you are. Look, it would do you good to just go over these things in Ephesians. You know, write them down, just as simple as that. Write them down and get them part of your spirit, something you look at, you know, every day, or at least look at it once a week and let God speak to you through it. All right, so tonight we're going to take over from Ephesians chapter 1 again, and we're going to look at verses 7 to 14 and a few other places as well, and just look at a few more things along of who we are in Christ. So starting with verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, so that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So we're going to back up to verse 7 where it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now in normal dictionary meaning, not biblical, normal dictionary meaning of redemption is this: the act of either gaining or regaining possession of something in exchange for payment, or clearing of a debt, or buying one's freedom. That, to me, covers redemption. If you just think of that whole thing, gaining or regaining, he regained possession of us. All right, we lost it. Adam and Eve lost it, lost what we had, you know, created in the image of God, gave it away, but Jesus came back and he paid the price, and we regained our possession of who we are in Christ Jesus in exchange for payment. Well, of course, the verse says the payment was his blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you, make a lot of the blood. Make a lot of the blood. What an amazing, we just don't really realize the magnitude of the price that Christ paid. And the clearing of the debt and buying one's freedom. You know, we say we're free, but we don't always live free. And Pastor Chuck and I were watching a movie on Netflix last night about Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln. And it was amazing, like just seeing the different things and the political darkness and the what went on with the, you know, pro-slavery and anti-slavery and just the kind, gentle man that Abraham Lincoln was, and godly man, was portrayed in the movie anyway. But you know, there was the fight for their freedom, and then they got their freedom, but for years they didn't live in that freedom. And you know, we as Christians do that. Jesus paid for our freedom, you know, much more than what the Civil War cost, and that cost a lot. I mean, you know, Jesus paid for our freedom through his own blood, and yet we live in bondage, and we don't live free. And it's because we're not really fully aware of who we are in Christ. We don't believe it. We don't have confidence in it, as Cherry said tonight, her sister had confidence. When you see things like that and you hear things like that, it builds your confidence. You know, so we need to receive and walk in the freedom that he bought for us. The blood of Christ was the payment. And the biblical word, it's interesting, is for redemption, is it's a separation and completion, ransom in full with the complete riddance and reversal. So in other words, everything that we were in sin, everything that we lost in the fall, the redemption does a complete riddance of the guilt and the sin and the shame, and a complete reversal. We have everything now in the kingdom, in Christ. I mean, it's amazing. And to get your head around it, like sometimes I just sit and I think about it and I think, wow, you know, God, the price that you paid for us. And it's just, it can be very overwhelming, but we need to just take that in and apply it to our lives. You know, live like it is real. It is real, and we need to live like it is and pursue the things of God. Just look at 2 Corinthians 5:17-21 along these same lines. First of all, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, completely new. So you become a new creature. Everything, you know, it's a new species, what some translations say. So that's why, you know, it's not the same you, that your spirit is reborn. And you know, it's our spirit man that's a real person. And so that has been reborn, and we've become completely new in Christ Jesus. That is the complete reversal of what we were, and the riddance of what we don't want, gone, and a complete reversal in Christ Jesus. And then verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, the original translation doesn't say he made him to be sin. It says he made him sin. Jesus was made sin. Oh my goodness. Like, you just can't imagine the magnitude of that when you think about every sin and atrocity in this world, and Jesus was made that. He was made that. For you and me, that is an unbelievable price to pay. Like the horror of having that upon him. Just put that up one more time, Hannah, 21. He made him who knew no sin be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Like, so there's the reversal. All our sin, he became that. And then we're in him, and now we get all his righteousness. You know, no wonder why it says in Psalm 6, you know, the angels say, Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him? And son of man that you visit him? You know, you have crowned him with glory and honor. Like, they couldn't fathom, you know, the idea that God would do this for man, for us. You know, made us a little lower than God himself. It's just mind-boggling. And then Ephesians 2:13, Hannah. But now in Christ Jesus, you once who were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So, you know, originally it was for the Jews, and then Jesus comes and it's open to everyone, the Gentiles. It's open to anyone who would believe. So once we were far off, now we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. And let me tell you, when it says we have that redemption for sins, that word, that sins, it means unintentional error, but also willful transgression. Whoa. Okay, a lot of times we like to think, how can God forgive that? Or we think, on the guilt and the shame if we deliberately did something. We all do it. We all deliberately missed the mark. But that's been redeemed as well. Now, it's not a license to sin. We know that, you know, because when you're in love with Jesus, you don't want to. You know, it's something that you don't want to miss the mark. You don't want to do things that displease him. You want to please your Father, and not because it gives you brownie points, but because you're in love and you're grateful for everything that he's done for you. So that, you know, remember that, you know, yes, there's times we don't intentionally sin or miss or lose our temper or want to, and then there's other times we do. And it's all been redeemed. Hallelujah. In Christ, complete reversal, complete riddance. Amen. All right, so that's the first one tonight. In Christ, in him, we have redemption. The second one, go back to chapter 1, Hannah, and let's just look at verse 11 again. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, there's that word predestined again, but this inheritance that it's talking about that we've obtained is an inheritance that we're supposed to experience both here and eternity. And we'll see that in a little bit further on. All right? And that predestined. That's what we've been predestined to once we're in Christ. We're predestined to this inheritance. We're predestined to a destiny, a plan and a purpose for us to fill. You know, every single one of you have been appointed and destined to a life with real purpose. You know, just knowing Jesus gives you purpose. You know, I don't know about you, but a lot of times we see people and we think, man, they just have no purpose, no hope. You can see people, their lives, there's no purpose there. And, you know, being in Christ and knowing Him brings purpose to your life. Whatever your walk of life is, it brings purpose because there's a reason to be alive. There is a reason to be here. And it's the biggest reason is we're in partnership with Him. And we are meant to be bringing heaven to earth and bringing people into the kingdom. I mean, what a great purpose is that? I mean, the best purpose ever. You know, so we're appointed to a destiny and a purpose, and we have meaning and significance because God deeply loves us. We've been singing about that tonight. And just the magnitude of how much He loves us. If we really understood that, you know, we wouldn't fall into the traps that the enemy gives us. The thoughts, he tells us it's not good enough, it's not wrong, you're not doing this enough, you're not doing that enough. No. God loves us, and He has a destiny for us. I'm focusing on some things more than other things for time purposes. All right, so we've been redeemed in Him. We have obtained an inheritance in Him. And this one I love. Verse 13 and 14. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. All right, so first of all, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that in itself is all the proof we would need about everything that we have here and everything to come. And when you're sealed, it's like in the Bible days, they used to have like a signet ring, you know, like Darius did, you know, with the lions when he sentenced Daniel to the lion's den. It was sealed. Anything you seal with your signet ring, that was it. Set in concrete, cannot be changed. So the Holy Spirit is our seal for security and preservation. You know, that's why when you are in Christ, you are secure. You know, I grew up with a lot of different, what should I call them, bondages in religious tradition and thinking. All right, but I grew up in an era where we were all scared if we did one thing out of line and the rapture would come, we'd miss the rapture. And, you know, my particular church that I grew up in did not believe once saved, always saved. It was drummed into us. No, you can lose your salvation. You can lose your salvation. You cannot. You know, like, it's pretty heavy for you to lose your salvation, let me tell you. Because we are sealed. And it'd be very, very difficult to lose it. It's like total apostasy we're talking about. People, there's a whole list and things in Hebrews that tells you what it is. And like, you know, there'd be very few people in the entire world who have actually fit into that category. We are sealed, secure, and preserved by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When we're in Him. And when you get born again, you are in Him. So we are sealed, and it says here in verse 14, the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee. Now, I know I've talked about this a lot. That actually means, you know, pledge or down payment. I love that. Down payment, because like I said earlier, it's not just for eternity, which is big, that's huge, But the down payment, we've been given something here. The Holy Spirit is our down payment of inheritance and blessing here and in eternity. All right, so just for starters, with the Holy Spirit, we know comes the gifts of the Spirit. How amazing is that? Something that we hardly ever think about and most of us don't use. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, healings, miracles, tongues, interpretation, all those things, discerning of spirits. If the Holy Spirit is in you, he brought them with you. And any one of us brought them into you, sorry. Any one of us can use any one of the gifts of the Spirit. It's just being available and to the Lord, being available, ready, and obedient for that gift to be used, right? The Holy Spirit brought all the fruit of the Spirit. What a down payment is this? All right, and we don't often live by the fruit of the Spirit, do we? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, you know, all those things, that's all inside. These are the things that we can tap into right here. And what? Those things, the fruit, the gifts, right in themselves, make things happen in our lives. Wow. We have the Holy Spirit as a down payment. We can talk to him. We can get advice from him. All these things are opened up to us as a down payment of, wow, what is ever going to happen in the ages to come? We're going to look at that in a second. But think of it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12. This is one of my favorite passages in Corinthians, and I know I get excited about it every time I talk about it. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And usually people stop right there. Oh, eye doesn't see, ear doesn't heard. We don't know what God's prepared for us because, you know, eye doesn't see and ear hasn't heard. Next. But God has revealed them to us through who? The down payment. He's revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? All right, so you only know what's in your thoughts. What's in your spirit. Only you know that. I can't tell you what's in you, right? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we've been freely given to us by God. That down payment, that Holy Spirit, is our lifeline to the Father. We can know what God thinks about everything in our life, what he thinks about our finances, what he thinks about our health, what he thinks, well, we know it from his word, but he can give us the answers to the things that aren't working according to his word. We can know what's in the mind of God. We can know everything he wants us to have for him if we take the time to develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it's a great down payment. Great down payment. All right, so we're sealed. That was the third thing. Next, we are seated with him in heavenly places, and we are his workmanship. Ephesians 2, Hannah, verse 4. To 7, we'll look at that first. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, we think about, I don't feel like I'm seated up in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm here on the earth. Remember, we're in him, all right? And it actually means we're raised up by companionship, all right? So that association and that companionship with Jesus Christ raised us up, awakened us and roused us from the dead, from our sleep, aroused us from disease, aroused us from death, aroused us from ruins, aroused us from non-existence, all those things. He's lifted us up in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I love it that it says, and it actually means to appoint together and hover over us. You know, we are hovering and dwelling with him. You know, inside, in that union, in that companionship. And I love that it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come. Only God knows what that is. But you know, there was ages before us. We're in the age of grace now. And there are ages to come. And let me tell you, that down payment, this is nothing, most likely, compared to what we're going to be doing in the ages to come. This is a training ground. God is getting us ready for whatever those exceeding riches are in the ages to come. Mind boggles. Mind boggles. But it's so beautiful and so overwhelming. And then in verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. So we are his masterpiece with a destiny that he prepared beforehand. I know a lot of people don't always feel like God's masterpiece. But each and every one of us are his masterpiece. Let me tell you, don't ever think that you're not worthy. Don't, like Stu's friend here, don't ever think that, you know, you're not good enough or that God can never use you. You are his masterpiece, his workmanship, and he has a purpose and destiny for each and every one of us. And look, it's amazing when you stay in him and you walk with him, you commune with him, you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, read his word. You know, like I said, it's not by ritual and not by, oh my God, I got to read my word today. Or, you know, like, it just, you know, when it take, put worship on, you know, put it in the car with you, in the shower. I have my best prayer times in the shower. Let me tell you, they're great. It takes me so long in the shower. No. But truly, just find ways to connect with the Holy Spirit. So, Hannah, we're just going to put that final slide up now. And I'm just going to wrap it up so we could see. All right, so this what we saw what we talked about last week, and now this is what we talked about tonight, all right? I have redemption through his blood. I have obtained an inheritance. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee or down payment of what is promised. I am seated with him in heavenly places. We are his workmanship, recreated in Christ, new creatures. Now, if that doesn't give you something to stand up and shout hallelujah about, I don't know what will. Stand up. Amen.